Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest sermons and teachings. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. You have been completely set free from the power and the bondage of sin. You are free to live in righteousness. You are free to live in holiness. You are free to live with joy overflowing. You are free to live at peace with God. I want to talk to you today about living in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and overcoming the power of the flesh. And here's the really good news. It is very, very simple. We complicate things, but the scripture makes this very, very simple. You can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have likely heard it said that you consist of two natures, the sin nature and the spirit nature, and that these two natures are warring it out within you. But I contend, based upon what the Bible says, that you actually only consist truly of one nature. Now, I want to talk to you about overcoming the power of the flesh, and I want to talk to you about living in the Spirit or living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But we need to understand something about the sin nature before we can talk about overcoming it. And the truth is that you are of the Spirit. I want to show you from Scripture the reality that you only have one true nature, and that is the spirit nature. This isn't dualism. There are not two of you. There is only one you, and that you is of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24 say this, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 say, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been unified with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." The scripture tells us that we have been crucified with Christ, that the sin nature is dead, it's crucified, it's gone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." I want you to say all things. The Bible also says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So we see very clearly from the scripture that you have one nature. The sin nature is dead. The sin nature is crucified. Your old self is gone. Your old self remains no longer. You have been set free from the bondage of sin. You are now free to live in righteousness, free to live in holiness, free to live in that peace that comes with atonement with God. And so we stop here, though, because even though we know what the scripture says about the old nature being crucified with Christ, even though we know that we are new and completely recreated, there seems to be this struggle that remains. For the scripture does say in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 9 say, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all." Now, you notice that the scripture says your sin nature. That puzzled me because I just read moments before we started reading these verses on the sin nature within that the sin nature was crucified. We continue to read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. "So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." How can this be? How can there still be a conflict with something that is dead, with something that is crucified? I mean, the Bible tells me that my sin nature, my former self, has been crucified with Christ, yet here I am fighting with my old self. What do you do when your new mind seems to be thinking old thoughts? When your transformed nature seems to be acting according to the old way of life? This seems like a contradiction because on one hand, the Bible tells us you have one nature, you are one with Christ. Your sinful nature has been crucified, destroyed. Yet on the other hand, the scripture describes this very real, very intense warring within ourselves against the things that we don't want to do. How do we reconcile these two thoughts, these two realities described by scripture? The answer is found in one very simple verse, Romans chapter 7, verse 20. "But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." How is it that you only have one nature, yet you seem to still be battling? It's because only one of those natures is actually yours. You see a self that battles against sin, and you see a self that battles against righteousness, but only one of those is really you. See, Paul the Apostle in Romans was not saying that he did not hold the responsibility for choosing to sin. After all, God holds us responsible for how we exercise our free will. Each one of us will be judged according to our actions, the scripture says. He is not dismissing himself from the responsibility of his actions. Rather, he is choosing to not identify with those actions. He is choosing to not identify with the sin nature. So, it is true that there can be this inner conflict, yet that you only have one true nature. This is not about ignoring the reality of the struggle. This is about identifying with who you truly are. You have only one nature. The key is fighting off what is against your new nature. You see, when you sin, you often feel like a fake. You feel as though you've done something that disqualifies you from being a member of the body of Christ. And you feel, I don't deserve what God has given me. I don't belong with the believers. I don't belong in church. I feel out of place. And that's how you should feel when you sin. And you may in your heart be discouraged because you can't seem to do the things you want to do. And the things you try to avoid, you find yourself doing them again and again. First of all, there's a way out of that. We're going to get into that in a moment. But I also want you to know that is not who you truly are. You say, I feel like such a fake. Well, the truth is, when you sin, you are a fake. You're a fake sinner. You're acting against who you really are. You're acting against your actual nature. Think about this. The very fact that you feel pain over your sin, the very fact that you are fighting against sin, is proof that the Holy Spirit lives within you. Because otherwise, who is there to fight against the sinful nature? For the scripture says it is the Spirit that wars against the flesh. If you are not warring against sin, there is no Spirit in you. But the very fact that you are fighting, the very fact that you are attempting, the very fact that you are walking out the process of sanctification, though you stumble, is proof that the Holy Spirit resides within you and that you belong to God. So the key is not to identify with that sin nature. So yes, there is a sin nature, but that's not really you anymore. That's not who you are. And even when you find yourself acting according to the old nature, you need to realize that that doesn't mean you are no longer a believer. That doesn't mean that you don't belong to God. That doesn't mean that you're not truly of the Spirit. You have one nature. Make no mistake, you have one nature, you are of the Spirit. And when we sin, when we act against God's will, we are acting against our own nature, which is why it violates our conscience. Now, the key to living in a way that avoids fleshly things is to live a lifestyle of death to self. The flesh really is just self. Now, keep this in mind, there's a subtle distinction between the flesh, the sin nature, and the flesh, the physical body. The body that is controlled by sin becomes an agent of the sin nature, but the body that is controlled by the Spirit becomes an agent of the Spirit nature. I'll show you from Romans chapter 6, verse 6, the scripture says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now, when you got saved, your physical body didn't die. But rather, what this scripture here is describing, the doing away of the body unto sin, or the body of sin, or the agent of sin, the doing away of that body has to do with transformation, not physical death. The death I'm describing is death unto self, death unto the sin nature, not a physical death. So the body that is controlled by the Spirit is of the sin nature. The scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So consider the members of your earthly body dead to those things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 and 19 say, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Now look at this verse we're about to read. And this verse that we're about to read has often been read with the mindset or the perspective that it's describing a future resurrection. But that's not what the scripture is describing at all. Pay very close attention to how the scripture words this. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 and 12 say, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." Now that there was talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But look at what the scripture says here. "And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." Now, the scripture here is saying that God will give life to your what bodies? Your mortal bodies. So this cannot be the body of future glory. This is the body you have now. He's putting life into that body, and therefore you are set free. Whenever you see the word therefore, ask yourself, what is it therefore? So therefore is used to describe a conclusion from something that came previously. So let's read that again. I want you to really pay attention to what the scripture is saying. "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." So here's the result of that now. Verse 12, the result of that life coming in you from the Holy Spirit, the result is that, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we see the distinction between the mortal body and the glorified body. The scripture says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down," that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, "we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." So the scripture in Romans chapter 8 is describing your mortal body receiving resurrection life that empowers the new nature to live free of sin. And the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is describing a new body that you get after this one is destroyed. So let's read it one more time. "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus, Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Sin is not welcome in this mortal body. This mortal body does not have to sin. So sin can reign in the mortal body, but not in the glorified one. There's another distinction for you. That's why we've been warned to not allow this. Sin can reign in us, but the warning is so that we will not allow that sin to reign in our mortal body. So the physical body isn't the same as the sin nature, but it can be controlled by it if we don't align our thoughts. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So when I talk about the death of the flesh, I am not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the death of self, the sinful nature. Now, the flesh can be retrained in the new nature. The physical body can be retrained in the new nature. It was trained for quite a while under the old nature, and now we subject it again, and we take authority over it, and we cause it to be subject to the spirit nature. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31 says, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So Paul is describing the subjecting of the physical body to the new nature. So death of self is the key to power. If you want power in your life, you have to die. The death of self is the key to power. It's the key to holiness. It's the key to peace. It's the key to joy. It's the key to all of these things. You have to die if you want those things in your life. If you want true power, if you want the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life, you've got to die to self. So the flesh isn't really you, but it can put up a fight. Now, nobody is exempt from the flesh, believe me. You may say, "But Brother David, you seem to be exempt from the flesh." Just ask my wife. She will tell you, I am not exempt from the flesh. I've met the most anointed men and women of God upon the face of the earth. Well, in my opinion, they're the most anointed men and women of God. And I can tell you, if I spend just a little bit more time with them than the average person does, I begin to recognize that the flesh is alive and well in everyone. And so we all have this battle with the flesh. No one is exempt from this. I mean, you look at me, I spend, an hour with you a week, if that? But this is the easy part. I come and I prepare a lesson and I stand in front of the camera. Right here, it's easy. There is no temptation here. My real battle is after these cameras go off, I take off this microphone, I step off this stage, I go to my car and I go back to my life. That's where temptation comes for me. That's when I really have to start to put into practice the things that I've received from the Word of God. That's when I really have to discipline myself and have a prayer life. That's when I really have to cling to the Lord and say, "Father, you have to help me to live under the Spirit. You have to help me to live in the fruit of the Holy Spirit." The flesh fights. The flesh is persistent. You can be delivered completely from demonic beings. You could be delivered completely from addiction. You can be delivered completely from spiritual bondage. But you can never really be completely delivered from the flesh. The flesh is either in a state of weakness or a state of strength. The stronger your spirit, the closer you walk with the Holy Spirit, the weaker the flesh gets. And so we have to live in a way that keeps the flesh in subjection. Don't even give it a chance. Don't even give it an opportunity to rise. The moment you feel like you don't want to pray, that is the moment you need to pray, because that is the flesh rising. The moment you feel like you don't want to go to church, that is the moment you need to go to church, because that is the flesh rising. The moment you feel you don't want to read the Word, that is when you should get into the Word, because that is the flesh rising. The flesh will fight against the things of the Spirit. And you must take your flesh and say, "You don't have a choice, flesh. I'm going to cause you to be subject. I'm going to subject you to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to subject you by action of my will. I'm going to subject you to the matters of the Spirit. I'm going to subject you to prayer. I'm going to subject you to the Word. I'm going to subject you to worship." And you tell your flesh by your will what you want it to do. Now, nobody is exempt from the flesh. We just read that Paul the Apostle said, "Lest that I too become a castaway." Or I'll read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So what is the key here? Well, the key is very simple. We need to live in the Spirit. How do we do that? Galatians chapter 5, the scripture says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So how do you know when you are walking in the Spirit? How do you know when you are walking in the flesh? Well, just look at the fruit. I mean, we see here in the scripture, it's very clear. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. You know you're in the flesh when you're being unloving. In fact, you know you're in the flesh when you are acting in any way that is void of love, including fear. Fear is not always a result of demonic attack. Fear is sometimes the result of living in the flesh. The same goes for doubt. The same goes for impatience. The same goes for depression, because the scripture says that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits, is joy. So if you are living in depression, ask yourself if you're also living in the flesh. Or anxiety. I remember one time I was having a real tough week, and many of you know one of my primary struggles in my flesh is fear and anxiety. And I know I'm getting in the flesh when I start getting anxious, when I start getting worried, and I start trying to prepare myself for the worst of the worst. That's how my mind gets when I get in the flesh. If I start to lack in prayer or I start to lack in the word, I know, because I start to get very anxious. I start to drift toward being anxious. And so I remember I was texting one of my friends. I said, "You have to pray for me. I'm this week, it's just not a good week. I'm feeling very anxious. I feel just anxious. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. And so I was expecting, you know, a scripture or him to tell me, "Well, you know, I'm praying for you." But what he texted back to me was actually much more helpful than any of those things. I said, "I think it's a spiritual attack. You have to pray for me. My anxiety is acting up." He said, "That's not spiritual. You're in the flesh." And I didn't get angry. It was like revelation hit. And I said, "That makes so much sense. That is how my flesh responds." Now, sometimes anxiety and depression and fear and all of these things can be demonically influenced or even demonically agitated. But for the most part, I believe it's of the flesh. How do you avoid these things? And how do you tell when you're in the right state of mind? Well, how are you when it comes to love? Are you unloving? Do you lack joy? Do you lack peace? Are you being impatient? There's a big one. Impatience is a sign of being in the flesh. Always being in a hurry is a sign of being in the flesh. Jesus was never in a hurry. He was always on time. When you're constantly rushing, constantly busy, constantly in a hurry, you're in the flesh. Constantly worrying, constantly angry, constantly doubting, constantly fearful, impatient, unloving, unkind. You're rough with people. There's no gentleness about you. You're in the flesh. So how do we avoid walking this way? Well, we simply walk in the Spirit. You see, we complicate things. You cannot give out what you don't have. The same is true of the Holy Spirit. The reason this is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit is because all of these fruits describe the nature of the Holy Spirit himself. He is loving. He is gentle. He is patient. He is kind. He is joyful. He is at peace. And when you spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, those fruits develop within you. And you begin to carry out the expressions of the Spirit. You begin to bear the marks of the Holy Spirit and being in His presence. Now, we struggle, we strive. In the flesh, we try to pray. We pray out of emotion. We pray out of our mind. We pray out of fear. We pray out of anxiety. We pray out of anger. We pray out of impatience. We're rushing to the Lord. Come on, Lord, I need you to do this right away. And He's trying to teach you to slow down and wait. Be in the Spirit. Those are the marks of being in the Spirit. Look, you can pray in tongues all you want. You can dance around the altar, wave flags all you want. But you're in the flesh if you don't have joy. You're in the flesh if you don't have peace. You're in the flesh if you're not patient. You're in the flesh if you're not loving. We need to spend time with the Holy Spirit because that is His nature, all of these things. Stop striving for it. Willpower and discipline will not get it for you. Stop exhausting yourself with all of your thinking and analyzing and trying to obtain things that God has already given to you. I could just hear it now because even when I try to teach people to just relax, you know, people of the Spirit are relaxed. They're at peace. They have authority. They have joy. They have love. And those who are in the flesh don't have any of those things. And I can already hear it. I'm trying to explain this very simply. Just be at peace. And you go, but Brother David, and all these things come to your mind, and you want to tell me these things. And people, every time I pray for someone, every time I tell them this advice, I'll get an email on my Facebook or on email or you know, any other social media platform that you can get. And people will say, I heard the message. I get what you're saying, but you have to hear my situation first. And then they say, well, I want to explain all of my situation, and then I want you to tell me specifically that that situation is going to be okay, or specifically that that sin can be forgiven, or specifically what I thought can be forgiven. And they're fearful, they're anxious, and I can tell them, just be at peace, just relax, you're forgiven, you're loved, you're complete in Christ, just repent of your sins, follow Jesus, love Him. And they go, but it has to be more, and their mind can't comprehend it. You know why? Because they're in the flesh. Just relax. Stop with all the thinking. You overanalyze it too much. Just relax. Say, Lord, I trust you. I'm at peace. And I know what you're doing in the situation is for my own good. And then just walk in it. It's so simple, isn't it? We complicate it. We want to go back and fix all of our mistakes. We want to go to the future and understand how it's all going to work out. And God says, just relax. Just be at peace. Just walk. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's that simple. Just yield to Him. Just surrender. Just spend time in His presence. And you will live in the Spirit. You will live in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray with you now. I want to pray that God would help you to walk in the Spirit. God would show you those areas in your life where you're in the flesh. Let's repent right now. I'm not going to pray for you yet, but I want you just right now, just repent before the Lord. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for walking in the flesh. Forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for not embracing the Spirit. We need to rid ourselves of worry. We need to rid ourselves of all of the hurrying that we do. Just be at peace. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that one watching, Lord, who wants to move from being in the flesh to being in the Spirit. I pray, Father, you would reveal to them the beautiful simplicity of trusting you, of walking with you, of loving you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring clarity to their mind, peace to their heart, and joy to their soul. Help that one receiving this prayer to get a hold of the thoughts, to get a hold of the flesh, and to choose life through the Spirit every single moment of every single day. In Jesus' name we pray, and I want you to say it with me. If you agree, say amen. It's so simple. You know, it's funny. The good news, I should start with the bad news. The bad news is that the line between the flesh and the Spirit is a very thin line. You can go from being in the Spirit to being in the flesh like that. But the good news is just the opposite of that, but almost the same thing. The line between the Spirit and the flesh is very thin. You ever been in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit, you go from the Spirit to the flesh like that? Well, you can also go from the flesh to the Spirit like that. It's just trust. You just enter in by faith.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.